92.3 informative, local, dependable. This is Pep Talk on Tuesday morning. Yes, sirree, it's hot, hot, hot with Mike Wiggins in the Garden Line.
It is hot, hot, hot. And I don't think we'd want to call this the dog days of gardening.
I don't even miss worse than the dogs.
But I'll tell you, you know, there's some things you got to do. You got to mow the lawn.
All right. When? At 3 in the morning when it's semi-cool?
I did mine at 6:30.
Okay, yeah.
6:30. And, of course, a lot of my neighbors out walking the dog, and I think they thought I was crazy, but I said, wait, no, I'm just going to beat this heat. It was hot. So just be, you know, we've said this for the last couple of weeks, be careful. I mean, I think yesterday, wasn't that the hottest day of the year?
So far, I think we hit 97, the record was 97, 98. Yeah, we just missed the record by a degree.
Some of the forecasters were saying 100.
Well, the heat index is now between 105 and 112.
You know,
I can't even get my mind around it.
No, I don't even worry about the heat index stuff. I mean, how hot is it? It's 98 degrees. It is brutal. Just brutal.
It's hot enough to stay indoors in the AC is what I'm so grateful for air conditioning. I say a prayer of thanks every day, all day. When I get in my car, I'm like, oh, air conditioning.
Oh, I should say so. Unbelievable. But it really is hot. So you got to be careful. No doubt about it. You got to stay hydrated. You got to do what you've got to do early in the morning, maybe even late in the afternoon, because once again, we're trying to protect our investment. So that sprinkler system that we were going 3 days a week, you know, for 30 minutes, you may need to increase that just a little bit, depending on where you live. And you can look at your lawn, you can tell, but you've got to get enough water on there. We don't want to lose what we have cultivated all spring and summer. And, of course, your container plants. I know we sound like a broken record here, Meg, early in the morning, because this is what we've talked about for the past couple of weeks. But those container plants are really going to show a problem quickly. So you just got to get out there and water them and just, you know, get you a big glass of water or a big glass of lemonade in one hand and a hose in the other and go have at it.
There you go.
You got to do that.
And you're listening to The Garden Line, so I wanted to throw our phone number out there very quickly here. We have an hour with Mike Wiggins, our garden expert. So 850-437-1620. We've already got texts coming in this morning.
Oh, great. So. That'd be great. One thing, Meg, before we go on. If by chance, and you know, it could be for many, many reasons, that you've got to get out and plant something, be it a plant that you're trying to replace one that has died or some of your annuals that have just had it with this heat, be so sure that you use enough water when you're planting. Some of the experts will tell you, dig your hole, put your peat moss in the hole, and fill it with water, and then it's going to be a mush. And go ahead and plant your plant in that at the same level where it's planted in the pot. And that way you've got water all around it that the hole itself is moist. And you've got to, you know, maybe pay extra attention to that in this intense heat. If you've got to do it, I've got a little bed of summer impatience that they just don't like this.
These are just wilted.
It's just too hot. And I need to replace it. It's just in a little container. But I am going to wait. Just let it moderate a little bit. And it's so funny. On one of the weather forecasts, they were saying, well, you know, we are really going to cool off at the end of the week. We're going to be down to 90 degrees. Well, I'll take it.
That's your definition of cool? Okay.
That's what you think is cool? Fair enough. And I'll take it, though.
Yeah, you're out. Any degree.
It'll lighter. Feel like we're in a snowstorm
if it went down to
90.
Yeah, get out the earmuffs.
Exactly. Anyway, enough of that.
All right, here we go. We got a good question already talking about lawns. Let's see. Let me find it real quick here. Is it true that you should mow your lawn in the opposite direction each time you mow?
Yes. That's so interesting. We really haven't talked about that much, but a lot of the experts on some of the procedures one should follow in mowing the lawn is to change direction. I don't know if you'd have to do it every time, but change direction when you're mowing, because that should make the lawn healthier.
That's interesting.
I'm not even sure why.
I was going to say, why is that?
I'm not even sure why that is. But yes, that's I appreciate that text because we've never really talked about that.
That's from Vicky. So thank you, Vicky.
Hey, Vicky, thank you. We always talk about mowing it high, depending on what kind of grass you've got. St. Augustine, you've got to go up to at least 4 inches, at least. Centipede, 3. Zoysia, 2, maybe even lower, depending on your variety. But we've talked about mowing height. We've talked about mowing time early in the morning, not at noon. You water at noon on a day like today, it's going to evaporate almost immediately, and it won't do a bit of good. So water early in the morning. We've talked about all of that. But mowing in different directions, we've never talked about it, but I'm glad you brought it up because, yes, that is on the list of things one should do if you're mowing the lawn.
Yeah. Okay, great question.
All right, Vicky.
All right, here we go.
You're our hero.
Okay,
so far.
We got another one now. Now, this is there a way to tell the difference between new growth and fungus on young Sasanqua? How do you say that?
Sasanqua?
Yes, Sasanqua bushes. Thank you, and a lovely compliment. Thank you for your gardening advice. You are the best expert and our favorite radio program.
Oh, my goodness.
Very sweet.
Thank you so much.
And he or she had sent a picture in last week, too, about that, and then sent another picture showing the growth.
Okay, well, now tell me, read the question again.
Is there a way to tell the difference between new growth and fungus on young I can't say that word.
Sasanqua. Yeah. I don't believe that on a Sasanqua this time of year, I could be way off base here, you're going to have a fungus problem. Now what you'll have on a Sasanqua is scale problems, which is an insect, which is the little white dots that get on underneath the leaves. And that's why for Sasanquas, we like to spray with ultrafine oil in the spring and the fall, which kind of clean all of that up. But I don't believe that you're dealing with a fungus here. I really don't. I think you're probably dealing just with normal new growth, and I think I would let it go. Keep in mind, and this is what we did. I think we talked about this last week, that if you, let's just say you have a Sasanqua and you've got little dots on the leaf. They're not on the edge of the leaf. They're on the internal part of the leaf. That's a fungus, no doubt about it. If you have a Sasanqua that's kind of turning brown at the tips of the leaf, that is generally environmental. I was going to say too hot, too cold, too wet, too dry. Where it would be too hot.
Right now, yes.
Exactly. A Sasanqua likes the sun. There's no doubt about it. But a little filtered shade probably wouldn't hurt, especially if you have it in a container. You could move it to that. But I think we're dealing with normal new growth here. So that would be my analysis.
Well, that sounds like good news to me.
I think so.
Okay, good.
I think so.
All right, keep your questions coming, 850-437-1620. This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Got to take a quick break here, but we'll be back with Pep Talk. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, and The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Got lots of texts rolling in, 850-437-1620. This is the expert panel. He is our gardening expert, no doubt about that.
Well, maybe so. But we just got a text from someone who says he is the expert on lawns.
Yes, shall I read it?
Read it. And let's see what Michael has to say.
All right, Michael.
Today.
Michael says, I'm an expert on lawns. The key.
He's modest, too, by the way.
Yes, humble, yes.
humble Michael.
Oh, we love it. The key is to make the tall grass shorter. Cut it whatever direction you want. Just cut it! Been doing it for the last 25 years.
Well, I can beat you on the 25 years, Michael.
Uh-oh.
I'll tell you right now. No, and he's right. He is right.
Keep it
to a certain extent.
Yeah.
You need to mow it when it needs it, because a good rule of thumb is never cut off more than 1/3 of a blade of grass. Now, you go on a 2-week vacation this time of year, you come back, that grass is up to your knees. Sometimes you don't have a choice, but it'll brown it out if you do that. However, going back to the discussion of mowing in a different direction, I think that's just another one of the things on the list that should contribute to a healthy lawn. Now, I agree. I agree with Michael. I don't mow in different directions.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just what some of the experts do say, that makes even for a better lawn. But Michael, I appreciate you calling in. We need all the experts we can get on this show.
For sure.
but we really do thank you. Well, Michael's a regular with us.
I know he is.
So we can horse around with Michael a little bit.
And my humble opinion is that if it gets mowed at all, it's a win.
There you go.
I don't care what direction, it's a win.
Just mow it.
Mow it, yeah.
Just mow. But seriously, don't cut off more than a third if you can help it.
Okay.
I mean, if your timing is, if you do it this time of year and mow it once a week, regular, take a Friday or a Saturday, this is when I mow, you should be okay. You should be okay.
Okay.
But anyway.
All right. We got another question for you. It says, this is a little different subject. We have some shrubs, bushes. I'm not sure if they're a bush or a shrub, but we have them, and they're blocking a digital sign because they've gotten too large. If we trim them in the summer, are they going to die? Would it be okay to trim them now?
Oh, no. It would be fine.
Okay.
I would do it. And you know, that is something that I wish we could pay more attention to, and I wish maybe the city fathers would pay more attention to. You get to an intersection,
mm-hmm.
and you've got a stop sign, and the other people coming the other way don't have a stop sign. And you have a shrub, but you can't even poke the nose of your car out to see if somebody's coming. It's so dangerous. So dangerous. And, you know, I've been tempted sometimes to walk into usually it's a commercial. Business. I walk in and say, hey, you know, no offense, but it sure would be nice if you could trim that plant back a little bit, maybe even remove it if you could live without it.
Mm-hmm.
But to answer the question, no, I would go ahead and do all the pruning you want to do. But keep in mind that if it's an azalea that's blocking the way, we're probably, as we get into August, most of the azaleas will have set their buds for next year. And so if you do get out there and prune your azaleas, which won't hurt the plant at all, you might be removing some of the color. But I think this particular situation is more important to get that pruning done than it is to worry about a few azalea blooms. So that's what I would do.
Okay, and the listener just sent in a thanks to you.
Thanks for calling, because it is, I think it's a safety problem, and it's all over town.
See it all the time.
Yeah, you get an intersection and you poke your car out there, and here comes somebody
right.
The other way.
Not good.
Anyway, it's not good.
Okay. All right, we got another text. If you have a question for Mike at the Garden Line, 850-437-1620, and really any topic that has to do with gardens, lawns, landscaping, he is our expert. So here's another one for you, Mike. I've been trying to grow peonies, but the sun keeps cooking them, no doubt. Any advice on the best location and care?
Oh, yes. Yeah. One of the best locations for peonies is Chicago. I think you're dealing with a plant. You don't have to go that far north. But I think you're dealing with a plant that really is not
indigenous?
It's not indigenous, that's for sure. And it really is hard to grow with our heat.
Mm.
It really is. I think you need to get a little further north to grow peonies.
Will they grow indoors?
No, I wouldn't try that. No, I just think that, you know, it's just, remember what we talked about last week, one of the Florida philosophies is from the state is right plant in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, peony is the right plant. It's just in the wrong place if you're trying to plant it in our heat. That would be my take on that.
Okay. Well, probably not the answer you were hoping for, but.
No. They're just not easy to grow in this heat. And what happens to them is exactly what the person who texted us is saying. They
mm-hmm.
just kind of burn up.
Yeah. Response was, ha-ha, thanks. Oh, my goodness. We're listening to The Garden Line. We can ask any question you like about gardening and plants because we got the expert in the house, Mike Wiggins, 850-437-1620.
Very good. Let's go back real quick, Meg, to Wiggins out there mowing the lawn at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my goodness.
But the reason I want to bring that back up, because we did talk about this last week, but mm-hmm. it's very, very timely. As I'm mowing, and my yard, it wasn't too high, but it was time to mow it. All come the little moths, little gray, dingy moths, fluttering up, you know, as I mow the lawn. which of course is a sign that my lawn, like so many other St. Augustine lawns, is subject to sod webworms, which cause the moths lay the eggs and the worms, and here they come, which chew on the grass blades and chew them down to the nub. Mm. And you look at your yard one day, it's perfect. The next day, you've got these brown spots. And the brown spots is really just the thatch that's underneath it because they've eaten all the green.
Right.
Matter of fact, when you separate it out and find the little sod webworm, which maybe is, half inch, maybe a little bit more than that, they're green.
And that's because you can't see them.
They're green because they've eaten all that grass.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, on that note, we've got to take a break. I'm just thinking of these.
That's something Andrew would want to bring up, I think.
No, please don't even give him the idea.
I promise I won't.
We'll be right back with Pep Talk and the Garden Line in just a couple minutes. Welcome back to the Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins, 850-437-1620. We thought today would be a slow day because it was so hot, but I think we were wrong, Mike. We're getting lots of texts this morning.
Oh, great, great. And we appreciate it, too.
So we got another text from Ashlyn. She says, good morning. I have a hydrangea in my front yard. Not exactly sure what kind. I know it grows on old stems, but it is getting so big. Is it okay to trim it back? I'm hearing conflicting advice from Ashlyn.
Well, she's right. Hydrangeas do bloom on older growth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the big problems with hydrangeas not blooming is you get into the fall and you're kind of pruning some stuff back and you prune that hydrangea back, you have cut off all that new growth of this year.
Right.
So you may not have many blossoms next year. And so, no, I would be very careful with that. You can cut it back a little bit, but I sure would not cut into all that new growth that you've had this year. I really would not. I think that's going to inhibit the blossoms on the hydrangea. Now, it's not going it's not going to hurt the hydrangea to prune it back. You can almost prune it back to the nub. Well,
that was my question. How far
You wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't cut back into this new growth more than a third of the new growth, which. You know, it's going to leave a lot, look like a lot of little sticks in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you need to be careful if you're trying to cultivate blooms on the hydrangea, which you are. That's why we have them. One of the most common kinds is called, I love the name, it's called a mophead hydrangea because it's just a big, round blossom. And it looks like head of a mop.
Oh, yeah, I think I know what you're talking about now that you describe it.
Exactly.
What color does it usually come in?
Well, that's the key with hydrangeas.
Because I've seen the blue ones and the blue purplish ones.
Well, the blue ones are what most people want, but the blue ones need acid soil, which we generally have here in Pensacola. If you don't have that, you can put some aluminum sulfate on a hydrangea, and it'll promote the blue. If you want it to be pink, that would make it, where you put some lime on it. You don't ever want to put lime on a hydrangea if you want it to be blue. Now, the books will tell you that's by the book, but to try to change the color on a hydrangea by adding aluminum sulfate on one side or lime on the other is not easy.
Hmm.
You may end up with kind of a washed out look,
right.
Which is neither one.
Right.
So whatever color you've got, I'd stick with it.
Okay, great questions coming in. We're going to take a break here for the news, and then we'll be back shortly with Mike Wiggins in the Garden Line. In the meantime, send in your questions, photos, 850-437-1620. We'll do our best to come up with the best answer for you as we deal with the heat of summer. Right, Mike?
Right on.
This is Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. We'll be back after the news with the Garden Line. No News Radio 92.3.
Very seldom, Meg. You know, I sit over here and listen to you sing.
Very seldom, because I sing
are,
very seldom.
You are a Seals and Croft fan. I
love this song, and I haven't thought of it in years until you mentioned it, because we got a question.
Well, I was just going to say, it's a person who sent this next text.
Yes.
Kind of brought that song to mind for both of us.
Well, I should probably say who we are. This is Pep Talk. Pensacola's expert panel, The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on News Radio 92.3. Guess what? We got a question about hummingbirds that came in, and we had talked about this a while ago, and it says, let me see if I can find it now. Good morning. This is from, let's see, hang on a second. Let me find it. Oh, my goodness. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Ah, I had it right here. Oh, someone just said, great song. Thank you. are the hummingbirds back? That's the question.
Well, that is a great question, and I have no answer for you. I have two hummingbird feeders, which historically have been a major success. I mean, last year we had so many hummingbirds. And I think I told you, they were so many, you know, they fight. They mm-hmm. fight each other. And then they'll have what we'll call a guardian sitting on a branch. And as soon as another hummingbird comes to the feeder, he'll run him off.
Oh, I mean, it's kind of fun. That's not nice.
Oh, no, it's not nice at all. But it's kind of fun to watch. But it's been a very disappointing year for
I know,
because
you've said that.
Aren't
they usually come sort of at the beginning of the summer?
Oh, well, I've been answering I don't remember exactly when they came last year. But I just know it seemed like they should have been here by now.
Right. So,
but I did have just few and far between this last week, had one day, one the next day.
Oh, my
goodness. But that's it. Nothing else. So I don't know if I'm doing something wrong. I use the same formula to put hummingbird food together in the hummingbird feeders. It's the same feeders.
Right.
Keep them clean and all that. But it's been a disappointing year. I would love to hear from somebody who is having success.
This was Steve on Escambia Bay.
Now, Steve on Escambia Bay.
He said he had a couple yesterday. He saw a couple yesterday.
Right. Steve on Escambia Bay.
He's a regular.
He's one of our experts.
Yes.
On the expert panel here.
Yes, yes.
He does know his business. But Steve, is that the first two you've had, or have you had a bunch of them so far?
Yeah, text us and let us know. And if anybody else has seen them, text us.
Maybe this is, if Steve has two on over on Escambia Bay, maybe they're moving in our direction.
Oh, there you go.
Who knows?
You don't know. Okay.
But not having them, and here I am, I'm making this up now. I just wonder if it's the heat.
Mm-hmm.
That has,
or that snow somehow affected the.
Wow, that's conspiratorial right there.
I don't know.
Snow, blame it on the snow.
Maybe they have a radar or weather reports for Hummingbird Society.
Exactly.
Don't go to Pensacola this year.
I do have a good friend who is very involved in the Audubon Society, and it's time to take him to lunch.
There you go.
And learn exactly what's going on.
Oh, here's a comment from one of our listeners. It says, I heard the hummingbirds come with the dragonflies, which are thick right now, but I haven't seen many this year.
The dragonflies are everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
The most I have ever seen dragonflies was immediately following Ivan.
Oh, hurricane. I remember that.
Remember that? I mean, they
yeah,
were.
Yeah, I haven't thought about that.
They had to work your way through them.
There
were so many of them.
That was so strange.
Yeah, that was strange. So,
okay, here's someone that says, I live in Pace, and I have had capital N-O hummingbirds this year, although I've always had them, many of them, in previous years.
Well, I'm with you. I'm with you. And I don't know why. I mean, now that I know that Meg has identified the snow as being, as being the problem.
Let's just clarify something right now. This is Mike's show, The Garden Line. Anything I say is superfluous, frivolous. I am not y'all know I'm not a gardener.
You
expert,
are very,
so I ask all the dumb, I can't even say, what is it? Thank you.
No.
So he's the expert.
You are very modest, Meg. You are very modest.
No.
Quit that.
No, I'm not. There's no modesty when you're just dumb.
No, quit it.
Serious. Okay, moving on. Okay, I got another question.
Move on.
Moving right along. Okay, this totally different topic. What can be used on house plants that have the little tiny gnats on them? It does not seem to be harming the plant, but of course we don't want the gnats in the house. Thank you for your advice.
Yeah, a couple of things.
Gnats are so annoying.
They are annoying. And what you could use is a little spritzer bottle of a product called insecticidal soap. kind of spray your house plants with that. It's a insecticide, I guess kind of a soap base. Very, very safe. Mm-hmm. Very organic.
What's it called again?
Insecticidal soap.
Is there a brand or?
I think you'll just find a different brand, but buy your little spritzer bottle.
Mm-hmm.
But one other thing to do for these gnats, because I've seen it before and I've had it myself, if you've got a house plant that doesn't have drainage, and as you water it, that soil gets real mucky and could promote gnats. That's just my observation.
Where do they come from?
I don't know.
I mean, when I buy bananas, occasionally I'll get the little bugs from they fly around. Yeah. It's very annoying. But I'm wondering, if a plant's been in your house all this time and suddenly you develop gnats.
Interesting.
Where
you reckon they came in when you opened the door and came back and forth?
I just have to wonder.
I that's a great question. Well, that's one that's into our research department.
Okay, research department, let's get on it.
Where do gnats come from?
Yes.
Okay, we'll ask the research department what they are.
Finding a landscaper.
Oh, I'm sorry,
I
just hit the button. We'll be back in just a minute after the break. Good morning. This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk. We're having a lot of fun this morning answering your questions. I gave him a stump question. We went to our research department about where do the gnats come from. Mike?
I had to wake them up over in the research department.
Snoozing.
Yeah, we haven't used them all morning. Okay, you ready to go?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to read to you here. Don't normally do that, but gnats can enter homes through open doors and windows or hitch a ride on houseplants, produce, or even damp towels.
Ooh.
They're attracted to moisture, food, organic debris, making kitchens, drains, and overwatered plants ideal breeding grounds.
There you go. That makes sense. Okay, we got a very intellectual response from Johnny, who's one of our listeners. He says, gnats come from a gnat mommy.
You know, we have got the greatest listeners. They are so
smart.
That's
awesome.
But, you know,
I love it.
Because he's right.
Yeah, you do. Come from gnat mommies.
Right on target.
We got to get rid of the gnat mommies first. There you go. Okay, we have totally digressed downhill.
Okay, I'm sorry.
We got to get back to a serious question now from one of our listeners. And if you have a question, please text it in at 850-437-1620. This folks says, let me see, talking about the myelin. Now I lost the question again. Here we go. Here it is. In the spring, I planted several pink Muley grass plants. The grass grew well. However, the grass is now just about all brown. Should I be concerned?
Well, yes, you might be concerned. The muley grass will probably be okay. Muley grass is, of course, real pretty ornamental grass that grows, maybe 3 to 4 feet high. Maybe.
Oh, gosh. Oh, I know what you're talking about.
And it's beautiful.
Yes.
Purple.
Mm-hmm.
Plumes in the fall.
Right.
I've always said, if you really want to see some pretty muley grass, go down Summit Boulevard and look at the airport landscaping from there. It's just a great plant. Now, muley grass is not unlike the rest of our plants, is that it can be affected by this hot weather and no water. If where you planted these muley grass, is a place where you really can't get water to them, or you haven't been able to water them, yes, they could suffer and brown out like this. I would not do anything. I certainly wouldn't give up on them.
Mm-hmm.
I think once we get some rain, once we can water them, and maybe overwater them a little bit to try to rejuvenate them, I'm going to guess, this is a big guess, and you're going to have to call us back in October and let us know if we're right. I think they may be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But get that water to them as soon as you can.
So they're not just kind of burning up in the sun?
I think that's what happens. Even though if you're going to plant any plants that will put up with heat and drought, these ornamental grasses are the ones you should do. But no plant can live totally without water.
Mm.
Now, I'm not saying that's where we are here, but you really need to get that water to them. And I would double up on whatever you're doing and try to rejuvenate them. I think they'll be okay.
Would they need daily watering, you think? Or
maybe to help them recover from this browning out that's happening. But not on a regular basis, no. Oh, absolutely not.
Okay. All right, great questions coming in. 850-437-1620. This is the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Our friend Catherine sent in a text. We're back to the original subject of hummingbirds. She said, no hummingbirds on my feeder, but they are here feeding on my red petunias.
No kidding.
Interesting.
No kidding.
Thank you, Catherine.
Yeah, the red petunias and red hibiscus, those kind of plants will draw hummingbirds. I've got some real pretty red hibiscus, some doubles. That are great. I hadn't seen hummingbird one. But Catherine, thank you. If you've got them, and I hope we get them too.
Maybe they're just a little late this year.
Yeah, I think they just probably like Catherine's yard.
because she
is so good.
Well, she sends us photos. She has one of the prettiest gardens in town, no question about it.
She is first class.
Yes, sir. All right, 850-437-1620. Still got plenty of time for your questions here at the Garden Line. We've been talking about lawns, watering, the heat. If you've just joined us, let's review what you were saying about lawns and the heat right now, because we talked about that about an hour ago, and someone may just have tuned in.
Well,
your advice on what to do with this extreme heat.
Well, the secret is water, of course. And our normal recommendation of 3 times a week for 30 minutes may not be enough. Now, if we continue without any rain, I'd be tempted to go every day. You don't have to do it for long, but until we get a break in this weather, either temperature-wise or rain-wise. Rain-wise is what you really need to get that water here. But yes, that's the key right there. But also the key is to mow it correctly. Mow it when it needs it. Don't ever cut off more than a third of a blade of grass. And, of course, our first texter today told us what to do is mow it different directions whenever you mow it.
Right. Okay? I had not heard that before.
I'm going to stick with that because I like that. I think that's good advice.
I think you made Mike's day today with that comment.
Yeah, I just think that's great because I've read that myself.
Mm-hmm.
So in any event, yeah, with this heat, we've got to take care of our lawn. And if you go on, say, a two-week vacation, you know, find a neighborhood teenager to mow that lawn for you while you're gone. But one thing you don't want to do, talking about that teenager mowing your lawn, whatever you do in this heat, don't scalp it. That could be the worst thing you could do. Don't forget, you know, you just want to mow it. Never cut off more than a third of a blade of grass and mow it at the right height for the grass that you've got. Let's say 4 inches St. Augustine, 3 inches centipede, 2 inches zoysia. And if you do that, that's the best you can do to keep that grass healthy in weather like we're having.
Okay, that's great advice as we're talking about lawns and this extreme heat. 850-437-1620, if you've got a question for Mike on the Garden Line on Pep Talk. And we do. It says, good morning, Mike.
Morning.
Is there any way to get rid of
Chamber bitter.
Okay.
Yes. Chamber bitter is a very common weed that we have in Pensacola. And here's what I would do.
What does it look like?
It's got a bunch of seeds that kind of go up and down the stem. I always think it's an annual weed. I think that's what it is. But in order to control it, a couple things you could do. You could spray it with a weed killer, what we call a post-emergence weed killer. But you do not, under any circumstances, do it in this weather. It's too hot. If you've got that weed killer at home, put it on the shelf, forget about it till we get into the fall. But long-term, to get rid of chamber bitter and some of these other annuals, is pre-emergence herbicide. We're going to put that on in November, and we're going to put it on again in February, 90 days apart. If you do that, that will help control the germination of some of those seeds, which, is what we need.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to ever get rid of all of them. It's a very common weed. One thing you can do, of course, and this goes back to what we just talked about a minute ago, the best weed control in the world is a healthy, lush lawn. It'll choke them out. But chamber bitter is so prevalent in our area, I would be really, if you've got a real problem with it, I would certainly use those pre-emergence herbicides. November and February.
But don't do it now?
No.
Okay.
You could do it now, but it would be similar to putting a blowtorch to your lawn.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
You just don't want
Point well taken.
You know, oh, no question. The temperature ranges for the pre-emergence herbicides is generally in the, maybe the low high, in the low 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can do it, preferably in the 70s. So as we get into October, but November is generally the best time to do that. But you got to repeat it in the spring, in February.
Okay, great question and great advice. On the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins, we're going to take a quick break. You've got a question, 850-437-1620. Text it on in. Good morning. This is the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on News Radio 92.3 and Pep Talk. Okay, we have one more question. We only have a couple minutes here, Mike. It just came in. Does Zoya seed work? Zoya seed work.
I'm going to tell you right now, the last couple of shows I have asked our audience to weigh in on that question.
Okay.
Because when you buy, I get a lot of literature from Centa seed, which is centipede seed, which, yes, that works. But they also have a product they have now called Zenith Zoysia seed, which is marketable. I guess you can buy it at a garden center. I've never seen it on a shelf, but Zenith Zoysia seed. I would like to know if anybody in our audience has ever used Zenith. Zenith Zoysia seed.
Okay.
Because I have never seen it used. I would think if the company that's putting it out is one of the most reputable old-time grass seed producers in America. So I don't think they would have it out there if it didn't work to some extent. But as we all know, making any grass seed work is all about preparation.
Okay, we've got about a minute left, so I'm going to try to get this question in for you, and we may have to address it next week. I have carpet grass suffocating my St. Augustine. What's the best way to get rid of it?
That's hard to do. I'd go back to my pre-emergence, our November, February pre-emergence, and use that. Now, you can kill it, obviously, with a Roundup product, which will kill it dead, but it's also going to kill all that grass that's right around it. So I think you're going to need to use a pre-emergence herbicide, but that's a tough one.
So you're going to have to wait, I guess?
Oh, got to wait.
Got to wait. All right.
Nothing you can do. And you don't want to get out and pull it. It's too hot to get out there.
All right. All these questions just came in, y'all. I'm so sorry we didn't get to everybody, but keep it on your pocket and bring it to us next week, and we'll do our best to answer it. This has been The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins, and you can hear this again on our website at newsradio923.com. Click on podcast, click on Garden Line, and you can take notes right there. Mike, thank you so much for being here this morning. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Meg. You're the best. Thank you.
So are you.